I want to, let's go to Hebrews 1. We'll go over to Hebrews 1:1. All right, Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. By the way, he's still doing that. Hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Okay? By himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, and so on and so on. I want to point out, upholding all things by the word of his power. Who is the word? Jesus is the word. Amen. In the beginning was the word. Jesus started out as the word, and then he manifested in the flesh. Everything God does, he speaks it into existence. If you go over and read chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says that he framed all of the days, all of the times, all of the worlds, it says, with words. Amen. Now, last week we started talking about how things work with God. And, you know, we believe and see totally scripturally that God is good. And so he is good in the New Testament, and he's good in the Old Testament. But there's been a lot of bad teaching. All the teaching of God did this to you, God this, God that. Even the insurance companies call those tornadoes the acts of God. But God didn't do those things. Those things are listed under the curse in the Bible. And so God wasn't doing those things, yet we have people, prominent teachers today, teaching people in churches that God is testing them with these kinds of things. And that is absolutely not scriptural. Whatever things are going on in your life have to do with you, your choices, other people's choices, and the devil. Amen. So what we found out was that God set certain things in motion. And, you know, the sun and the stars, they're still out there. And the earth is still doing the same thing it's been doing. Things get set in motion, and they're not upheld by the power of his word. They're upheld by the word of his power. You got to get that. There's a difference. They're both good, but you got to understand that. So we found out then that in Genesis, he set the blessing in motion. The blessing is not "Hachu, bless you." The blessing is an empowerment to prosper. Prosperity is the ability to take the ability of God and bless mankind. So it covers way more than finances. Amen. And so we found out that he set the blessing in motion. He set his government in motion. And we find out that he does things by seed, time, and harvest, according to Genesis 8. That's how he will always work. And then in the New Testament, Jesus talks about how the kingdom of God works. And the kingdom of God works just like seed, time, and harvest. Amen. So we know that's true. So then we looked at his name. We started looking at his name in Genesis. And we found out that when it said, God said, all the God saids, God said, God said, we found out that that was Elohim. So the triune God spoke creation into existence. So, and then we see that when you moved over into what we would call Genesis 2, which was what we would call it, we see that his name changed to the Lord God. And we notice in our Bibles that it's capital L-O-R-D. And the translators did that for you on purpose, because the capital L-O-R-D means something different than the little L-O-R-D. God means Elohim. Little L-O-R-D means Adonai. It's just a title, like the mayor or something. It's just a title, the Lord. And then L-O-R-D caps is actually Yahweh. Okay? And now understand, if you're going to go back and exegete and work with Torah or anything, you're going to see that the Jewish people called him Hashem. Now, Hashem means the name. They called him the name because they felt like that Yahweh was too personal to be said out in any place where something might be dark. They honored that name so highly that they wouldn't speak it. And then there is also the fact that it didn't have any consonants in it. That God had it. I mean, any vowels in it. It was only consonants. And so it turned out that we say Yahweh. You get over into the New Testament, it says Jehovah. So when it says Lord God, it's saying Yahweh Elohim, okay? So, but what we found out then is that God rested on the Sabbath day when he came into the second chapter there, when we see the second chapter. And so he moved into calling himself that. And what we see from it is that God began to set up systems. He set up the blessing. Now understand, he said it to Adam, didn't he? He blessed Adam. When he blessed Adam, he didn't go, "Hi, Adam, bless you." No, he conferred power. He conferred dominion. He said, "This is yours. And if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have that power today." Okay. So, but what we understand then is that these systems began to roll. When God speaks the word, things go and they don't stop. I'll just tell you this. Your words don't stop. And one of the reasons why they don't is because God operates on seed time and harvest. And words are seeds. What did Jesus say? The sower sows the what?
Word.
The word. Okay. Now, so we traveled along that path. And I want to just go back and double back and say some things to you just to make sure you have this down if you need to help people with this. So the big question is, how do Genesis 1 and 2 flow together? As soon as we were over the other night, Susanna said, "Well, how's this going to fit into this?" And she was looking at something in us. And I just told her, I said, "I don't know, but we're going to see it." So I've continued to study it. And I'm telling you, me and Deb and Danny have been like three Jews in a library. Just looking at it and thinking about it and working with it. And so I want to kind of walk you back through this one more time. Genesis 1 is the account of creation of the universe and life on planet Earth as it happened in chronological sequence. That's what it is, okay? And then Genesis 2 is simply an expanded explanation of the events that occurred at the end of the six-day creation when God created human beings. So Genesis 1 provides virtually no details about creation. And you think about that. This book is dedicated to relationships between God and his most preeminent creature, us. And yet there's very little in Genesis 1 to tell us what's going on there. Are you with me? You see where I'm going? Okay. So you pick up in Genesis 2, and Genesis 1 was never intended to stand apart from Genesis 2. The translators added the chapters so you could find your way around. But there are no chapters.
Yeah,
it's just rolling.
Yeah.
If you were just really just reading the Torah, it wouldn't be broken down like that. That just helps us find our place. And so you have to understand this keeps rolling. So Genesis 2 then describes God's preparation. Now listen. Of a specific location on earth, and it's called Eden. So it gives you the big picture, just the big picture. Do you know that some people are big picture people and then other people are detail people? Okay, so God's both. So what he did was he gave you the big picture, and then he drops down and he starts telling you, shouldn't say drop down, but opens up, because Moses now is zooming in. You know, Moses wrote this. Okay. So now he's zooming into this place, and it's a specific location. Okay. For the habitation of these first humans that are there. Now, he gave a close-up look then of the garden. But when he zooms in on the garden, he's also zooming in on God. You see that? I used to do a lot of photography. And, I had these, lenses that I could see Karina's eyelashes real easy. She's back row Baptist back there. So no, I'm kidding. But I could pick it up with my lenses. But when I wanted to take a picture of a flower, there was a lens called a macro lens. Now that's when a flower becomes a big picture. Okay. So it's like he's using the macro lens for us here. Or maybe for you, if that messes you up, you could say you were looking through the microscope. Okay. So you could do that. And so you pull in, but here's where the confusion lies with people trying to translate this. They left the word earth in there when it should have been translated, Eretz. In Hebrew, it would have been Eretz, which would mean land. So it's a particular location. So here you're up here, all this stuff is happening, and they zoom in and you're seeing Eden, and you're going to see how Eden works and what God did there. It's amazing to hear the viewpoints of different people, how they have seen how God created man. You should listen to how Robin Bullock has seen it in his spirit. He sees God, the spirit, going all the way down into the dirt in his image and pulling himself up, formed. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So that's just a side note, but you can listen to him about that if you want to. So what we have then here is that they're zooming in on Eden, but they're also zooming in on God. So when they zoom in on God, we find out that he doesn't want to just be known as creator. He wants to be known as someone personal to you. He wants you to know that he is in relationship with humans. So he tells you his name. James, right? When we met tonight, we told each other our names. So, when you're going to get to know someone, you know their name. You know, you want to go somewhere where everybody knows your name, but don't go there. Come here. Praise the Lord. Norm, you know. Okay. So, what we have then is Elohim is the general name for God. It's used in the context of creator. I'm going to be real redundant tonight, okay? So just put up with it. It emphasizes that God is distant. He's powerful. It's used to describe him as this awesome, majestic creator. And it's Elohim. And then personally, he's Yahweh, and that's his personal name, and it's in context of God being in relationship with his people, with you. Okay, just want to settle that. And then to avoid confusion, you need to understand that Adonai is then added into the Bible mix, which lets you know that it's a title, Lord, but it's not his name. It's the title of Yahweh. Okay. So when you go translate and meditate, you'll see it. It'll become pretty easy to you. So when we see Lord, that is Yahweh, or that's the divine name of God. And when we see the little Lord, that's Adonai, or like master, you're calling him master. Okay. So it's easy to see how those two terms could be confused, but they're really not confusing once you've learned this. Okay. Now, so the translators helped you by capital L-O-R-D. And the thing, I'm going to mention this one more time to you. The thing about God in relating to you is that he set up a way to do that so that you, because you have your own will. So he set up a system that works, and we would call it government. It's his rule and his reign. Now, it's not like some of the government we've seen. But it's how he would cause things to function. And this is not so he can boss you around. This is so you have a choice. Because he gave you a choice. You can say no to God if you want to. Or you can even get in. You can get born again and still say no to God. Just because you got born again didn't mean that everything starts going perfect for you, because you have to start saying yes. And so you have to start saying yes to the flow of how he does his relationship. It's the same thing with any relationship. Am I right? You're going to have to say yes to something when you get in relationship with someone. Anyway, that's free. Praise the Lord. Now, so the rest of the scripture, the distinction in the divine names holds true for the remainder of the scripture. So the different names merely reflect different emphasis of God's character and his dealings with humanity. So there's always a reason. But us English teachers like this stuff, don't we? It's cool, isn't it? There's always a reason that the writer will use it. So the context will always provide the answer. The context will always provide the answer, along with when you see this. And you can see it very clearly in Genesis 1 and 2. Now, to be clear, God is one God. Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord," capital L-O-R-D, is our God. The capital L-O-R-D is one. He's one God. Now, let's just try an exercise here so you can see how God's name defines him, okay? So, who is the God, your healer? Whole name. What? Jehovah Rapha. Who's the God, your provider? Okay. Who is the God, your righteousness? Sikkenu. Okay. Lord, your banner, so on. Rohi. And then you finally get to El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Okay. Oh, I like that one. Praise the Lord. Okay. So you see how he took his name's, and it defines him. So Jesse means wealthy one. Praise the Lord. Roxanne means the dawn of day or brightness. And you can certainly see that. I know. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. And Debbie means busy. And we can certainly see that. No. Means the bee. But names are important. Okay. So, and, you know, praise the Lord. Just trying to shake you up just a little bit before we go on here. But listen, in all this, don't get too far out. Remember chapter and verse are there. Don't let those lock you in. So you're going, well, what, you know, it's a flow and it's taking you to the next place. Now, so Moses is just moving in closer, but this is what I want you to see. When Yahweh is added, this helps us understand how things work. God and his government. This is how. You're like, well, Pastor, you're going over and over it. I am. I just want to make sure that you get this, because it's probably the last time we're going to talk about this for a while. So God and his government. Now, he's totally good, so just make sure you get that. Now, also what we see is Yahweh is I am that I am. So he's the self-existing, always existed, always will existing. One, and that's his personal name. It's how he works with his children. So here's the question. How does he work with his children? Well, God only has to speak and he starts moving. He spoke and he'll speak to you through the word, through a preacher, in your spirit, however he chooses to speak to you, and things will start moving. How many times has a prophetic word started you moving? It might and it might not, depending on how dense you are to it or how alive you are to it. If you get a prophetic word and go, well, I sure hope that comes to pass, then you don't really get it. I don't have time to go there, but you get what I'm saying. Now, so the words keep working. So the way he chose to run the earth and to help man is with seed, time, and harvest. That way you get to choose and decide how your life will go. God is a sovereign God, but he will not go against what? His word. He put it out there so then you could choose. So you can't say, well, God just did this to me. Well, my life is like this because God did it. God didn't do it. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came to give life more abundant. Now, I'm here to tell you that for 30 years, I've experienced life more abundant when I found out it wasn't God trying to teach me lessons or that he was just throwing fate out there. That's not how it works. It's by your choices. And boy, will he come in and back up your choices. But see, when I say that, listen to what I'm telling you. It's his system that will come in and back up your choices. It's already rolling.
Yeah, that's right.
You're in that vehicle. Okay. I think we all are pretty keen to this. So now, it's a judgment system. Now, judgment, don't bite off judgment and go, oh, no, we're going to talk about judgment. When you judge a pie contest, the best pie wins. When you judge the dog contest, my dog wins. Just kidding. When a judge, when you judge a court situation, the case will be judged and there will be an outcome. Good or bad, there's going to be an outcome. It has been judged. The gavel is down. Am I right, Judge? That's right. Okay. So it happens, good or bad. Justice, sometimes not, but as far as we're concerned, we want justice to happen. Yeah. And I'm going to prophesy to you right now and tell you we're about to see some. Yeah. We are about to see some. Okay. So if you sow bad seed, you get a bad harvest, just like your mama told you. If you sow good seed on stony ground, what do you get? If you sow good seed on thorny ground, what do you get? You're cutting your harvest down. You're cutting it down. Thorny ground, what happens with thorny ground? Your harvest gets choked. Right? Mark 4, Matthew 13, Luke 8. Okay. So this is going to be up to you. One more time, I'm going to tell you. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, he shall also reap. Now, this is really the good news. The next verse is the good news. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit. You sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. When you choose love, you are reaping life. When you choose forgiveness, you're reaping life. When you choose kindness, you're reaping life. What, you know, when you choose to do what's right and do it right because it's right, you're going to reap love. When you choose to hate, you're going to reap something. When you choose to gossip, you're going to reap something. When you choose to badmouth people, you're going to reap something. When you choose to hate and oppose yourself, you will reap that. You've got to find out how much God loves you, and then you'll stop opposing yourself. You've got to know the love of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So, if a decree goes forth from a king, it's carried out forever unless the king changes it. Once the king changes it, you got something different going on. But God doesn't change, and he's not going to change the system. So go ahead and use it to your advantage, because this is the way it's always going to work. So see, sowing and reaping is not an offering word. It's a life word. It is an offering word, but whatever degree you sow, you're going to reap it multiplied. That's the thing. It's going to be multiplied. If you sit around judging other people, it's going to come back. So what you're going to have to do is find out, when are you judging other people? Well, when you sit around with speculative imagination, now, you know, I think that they probably are like that because da 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 da. You better watch out, because if you're spending all your time talking about somebody when you might want to just go out and talk about the flowers. This is just good. This is just going to help us, because we won't have any bad harvest coming up. Now, if you lift people up, if you say good things, you're going to reap a good, kind harvest. That kind of harvest. Now, and I'm being redundant again, but we need to see where God's coming from. How did Job get to such a bad place? Did God, in his sovereignty, allow Satan to come in and cross the hedge and test Job? I think not. The scripture says that Job was in fear, he was worried, and he kept doing all these sacrifices to try to get those. They were partying big time. And he was afraid it was going to cost them. But his fear actually cost them their lives. Because what the Bible says, what Job feared came upon him. So it was because he sowed in fear, he got over into the curse. Because faith will bring you into the blessing, and fear will bring you into the curse. Even if you're a Christian. Now, it doesn't belong to you. That's not your vein. But you could work in... Now, look, church, it's obvious that's true. Or we would all have everything going perfectly. We'd all be driving the Mercedes of our choice or whatever and flying the planes of our choice and living, you know, and we would all be totally healthy. But because of choices we made as Christians, it has to be true. Because none of us can sit up in here and say, oh, yeah. Curse, I've never messed around in the curse. It doesn't bother me because I'm a Christian and I'm in grace. Yeah, it does. The lie of it does. But you are not cursed. And you don't have to have anything to do with it, but it's going to be about your choices. Life is choice driven. All right. Now, I discovered something, and I want to talk to you about it. Just for a minute. Last week we were talking about what I mentioned something about the death angel coming in the book of Exodus about, in the Passover. Okay. So I went back to read it and I realized something. It didn't say I'll send the death angel, which we know is not a death angel. Angels are reapers. So they're going to reap the good or the bad for you and bring it into this realm. It's happening in the spirit. They're going to bring it into this realm. It doesn't say the angel. It says that the Lord would pass through. The L-O-R-D would pass through. So not the nature, the love of God part, but actually the system of God would pass through and he would take out the firstborn out of Egypt. And when he got to Goshen, there was blood on the doorpost because they already had a sacrifice, so they didn't have to sacrifice. They sacrificed a lamb. Can I tell you that a lamb has been sacrificed for you, which takes you out of the curse of the firstborn dying? But it said the Lord. Now that makes the story bigger right there. Because it was the Lord. So, Now, I'll tell you another thing, just kind of interesting footnote. It's called, he told them, it will be called the Lord's Passover. You can chew on that and have some fun with that. It was called the capital L-O-R-D. It's called Yahweh's Passover. So in other words, God and his government's Passover. So it's set in motion. Glory to God. Okay, now, so the judgment of God passed through. I believe there were some angels involved. I'm still looking for the scripture that might lead us back to that, because you always interpret scripture with scripture. And a lot of people say that. I just haven't found it yet. I'm just to be honest with you. I haven't noticed it yet so far. But everyone who had blood on the door, they were judged not guilty. But on the Egyptian side, the firstborns begin to die. The firstborn male dies. Now you're like, wow, man, he was doing that. He just chose to do that so Moses and Israel could go free. So God just chose to do that. No. He called forth at that time a harvest. Because when Moses was born, Pharaoh was killing firstborn boys. Reaping what he sowed. So Pharaoh's son died after killing babies. You understand the prophet of the God Baal is all about sacrificing children? That same spirit has tried to go on and on in the world. And it pushes real hard. I can't take too long on this, but I'll just dangle a carrot for you. The enemy, Satan, is trying to move God's calendar up. He's trying to move God's calendar up. He's trying to bring Gog and Magog on the scene. Because he wants, see, if he can break what God said, then he thinks he's won. But he's not going to. He's trying to be ahead of his time right now, but it's not going to work. That's how I can tell you America will be great again. Because we are the missionary country of the world. We are holding the gospel. So I'm telling you, it's not time yet. It's not time. And the prophets concur with that. Most of them. Now, so are you getting this? I know I'm just giving you a lot of different cereal here, but actually it's pretty much meat, but just eat it. You'll like it. So when you sow the wrong seed, then there's a sacrifice. So, but here's the thing. If you sow to the flesh, then you're going to reap from, let's say it like this so we're not talking where it sounds religious, like, oh, you're just in your flesh. Flesh is not just carnality of smoking, drinking, and cussing, and womanizing, and whatever. Flesh means the five senses. When you sow to the flesh, see, we're not going to be able to sit up here and act all religious and good. Because sowing to the, just because we don't smoke, drink, and chew, and hang with those that do. Well, I don't know, a few of them we might. I'm kidding. That's not the whole scenario. That's way on the outskirts. Living by the flesh means that you just take your five senses and you make every judgment out of those five senses. Well, nothing's happened, so I guess it won't. Well, they prayed for me to be healed, but I don't feel anything. Well, I'm going to buy that stock because I just feel like it's good. Well, I'm going to do this because I think this job would be better. When if you'll consult the Holy Spirit about your clients and your jobs and everything, then you're sowing to the Spirit. So sow into the flesh, you're going to reap whatever's going on in the world system. But when you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap the seed time and harvest flow, the God flow, and you're going to get the God results, which will be what? Good. You'll have good results because God is good and His harvest are good. So when you make decisions out of that, He's going to come right in back of you and say, all right, you're in my system now. Glory. We're going to have some great success. Yes. He said, I wish above all that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. What soul? What is the soul? Mind. Mind, will, and emotions. So you take the soul and you make it subject to your spirit. And when you make it subject to your spirit and you sow to the Spirit of God, are you, when I say sow to, I mean you make decisions. You're making decisions based on the spirit realm instead of on just what you think. I got mad, so I said so and so. Well, see, you just sowed to the flesh. But you could say, I got mad, but I shut up. Then you sowed to the Spirit. Well, I didn't like what Pastor said, so I spent a lot of time trying to tell everybody and correct what she said. You sowed to the flesh. Well, I got quiet in here. Okay. Bing! Okay, so... Let's just say this here then to connect to what we said about honor. You sowing and reaping like this, what you lightly esteem, you'll get lightly esteemed back. Yeah. So if you lightly esteem God's presence, His voice, church, the body of Christ, prosperity, healing, prophecies, that's what you're going to get back. If everything's out of your intellect all the time, if you're figuring everything out of your intellect, you're sowing to the flesh. That doesn't mean you don't use your mind. God gave you your mind. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You can get mad at me if you want to. Just be happy by Sunday, okay? Some of the biggest problem with this elite spirit is they think they're so educated. And they've had this wonderful position in life. I don't care how many letters you have after your name. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. It's time to get down off that high horse and humble yourself before Almighty God and resist Satan and he'll flee from you. Thank you. The Lord just said, I like that. Praise the Lord. So what happens, church, don't get upset about this and take it hard. You build capacity when you honor. You build capacity when you say, you know what, God? I believe I'm going to say, all right, show me who you are. And then he will. And then you take another step and then you take another and you find out he's good. Man, when he showed, I've been a Christian since I was a little kid, but I didn't want to go to church because I was like, well, you know, it's just going to be a bunch of rules that I don't want to keep. It's just the truth. And, you know, turn or burn, you know. I just would rather go to the pool hall. I'm just telling you the truth. But when I found out God was really good and that he wasn't doing all this stuff and that I could actually have success in my life, it changed my whole life. And then when I got into the word, this thing about honor dropped in me and I wanted to honor him and love him and highly esteem the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what he did, that he got down out of his majesty, out of his eliteness. He took off his royal robes and came to earth as a baby and walked on earth as a man and got filled with the Holy Ghost like a man would and then operated in miracles like you can. I wanted to bring some honor to that. Where'd that come from? The word. The Word did that. So as you're making choices, the Word itself, the Word of His power will begin to uphold you in your choices. You start caring. You start being, oh, I'm not going to ask whether I'm going to church or not. We go. Your body will quit asking. Why? Because you have a responsibility to be here for everyone else that's here. Whether you're preaching, singing, ushering, or whatever it is, the responsibility to come fill a seat and pull on the anointing is so important. If we didn't do that, if we were just like, well, I'm going to run over there and see what they got. Maybe. I don't know. I might stay home and watch The Price is Right. I don't know. We don't have that decision anymore. No. It's, I'm going, unless Jesse's preaching while I'm on vacation. Right? Or I'm preaching somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I'll be there. Mm-hmm. I've been here every time for 20-something years. And the only reason I've not been here every single time would be because I was either preaching somewhere else or I was on vacation. Or I was in Israel. So the devil hasn't fought me very hard about staying home because I don't feel good. He knows the blocks. Whatever aggravates you the most and you let it get to you, you'll see that all the time. Whatever causes you to stay home from church, you'll see it all the time. Because all he needs is one little monkey imp to keep you. And then you won't break it. I guess I'm preaching to people who are at home because they're all here. But you just let that one little thing keep you from participating. That's all he needs. Anyway, love you. I really do. Because I have this down, but there's certainly other areas I'm working on. Okay. Now, so I'm almost done here. You accepted Jesus as your Savior and as Lord.
Yes, that's right.
So you're a new creature and you have a home in heaven, and that's solid. Yep. But there are new creatures who never do anything with their new nature and they still have hell on earth. Why? Not because God's punishing you for what you're doing. It's way bigger than that. Okay? It's because there's a legalistic devil out there. Yeah. If you'll read the scriptures, you can tell over in Romans when the Apostle Paul does this. And he says, okay, you're born again now. What's the reason for holiness now? Because there's a legalistic devil out there that'll try to put the curse, get you. He'll actually try to prosecute you and make you have to pay with the curse. Because he runs to and fro. He climbs up and down the ladder. He's always looking and trying to. He's called the accuser of the brethren. Now, you're not guilty. You can get forgiveness just like that. But if you get into habits and you can't listen, church, and then you can't see them, then you start reaping things that you got in habits because you're not seeing it. I'm going to give you an example, and we'll start closing with this. He's very subtle. Now, if he says to you, you know how so-and-so treated you? You need to hate them. Every person that just heard me say that, I'll go, uh-uh, I'm not hating. I'm not going to hate. There's just no way I'm going to do that. Now, the devil is subtle about that. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Tell me the first three. And they're the fruits of the what? So, Holy Spirit in you, your spirit produces these fruits. Okay, your spirit does, but Holy Spirit's in there. Okay, now, love. Satan is not going to send one of these imps to tempt you to hate. He's subtle. He's going to send an imp to tempt you to desire. Because there's love and then there's desire. That's his plan. See, that's subtle. So we can't all just sit around here and think, yeah, I'm good. I don't hate anyone. Yeah, but what about desire? What's the next one? Joy? Okay, so he's not going to say, send an imp for, put them in, just put them in total grief. Just put them, because we're all going to say, maybe not all churches, but this one's going to say, I'm not grieving. Not in the false grief, junky, junk, junk. I'm not doing it. Not going to do it. So what's he going to send? Happy. Because happy is not joy. But if you're happy, well, you know, I don't hate anyone. And I have desires, and I'm happy. And what's the next one? Peace. So he's not going to send war, necessarily disharmony. But he's going to send quiet. So then you're living in desire, happy, quiet. And you think it's good. And it's flesh. Now let's go on to the end of the line and pick the hard one. Self-control. Why are y'all laughing? So he's not gonna go all the way. Some people are already in total lasciviousness, okay? But because everything is just grace, you know, well, I'm in grace, so, you know. But, and I'm in grace too, so don't write me an ugly email. But there's sowing and reaping in life, and the devil is subtle. So self-control, he's just going to put you in, are you ready? Self-discipline. So you're just going to try to discipline yourself. And so you're trying to do it and whatever it is you're doing and you're trying not to eat and there goes that lemon cake thing and then you're going, but you keep losing. Why? Because you're not using the fruit of the Spirit, you're using the flesh. And when you sow to the flesh, you reap to the flesh. But that's the subtleness of Satan. Now, and so let me just say this to you. I'm just going to close my notes here because we've had enough. But I'll just say this to you. Resist Satan and he'll flee from you. How? In the spirit, not in your flesh. Your flesh is no match for any spirit. True. But your spirit beats every spirit. Yeah. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, the most powerful one in the universe. He beats every, your born again spirit beats all of them. If you build capacity. You don't have a retarded spirit, but you can, it can be baby. Bo is not as big as Larry. He will be. He'll build capacity, right? But the Spirit of God on the inside of you can whip any devil with one word. Yeah. But see, people try to fight it with their flesh. Now we're going to send you to a counselor. And they're going to try to work it. Well, why don't you get some word? If you're going to go to a counselor, go to one that knows the word. Well, we're going to do the steps. The steps are good. If that's what people are going to do, and they're going to do it in their flesh. But I'm telling you, God can deliver you in a millisecond. You find out who he is, how much he loves you, how much power you have, and you can win quickly. Y'all receive this tonight? See, you want to sow to the Spirit. You want those fruits of the Spirit working, and they all work in conjunction with the gifts of the Spirit. Every gift of the Spirit works with the fruit of the Spirit. They do. And they work properly. They work right. So if we're going to sow into the system, we need to do it in the Spirit. Amen.